All right, boys, prepare yourselves. We're about to enter French Canada.
French Canada?
There's no Canada like French Canada. It's the best Canada in the land. The other Canada is hardly Canada. If you lived here for a day, you'd understand.
Ho, ho, ho! Welcome to French Canada!
There's no Canada like French Canada. It's the best Canada in the land. And the other Canada
is a bullshit Canada.
If you lived here for a day, you'd understand.
I think you'd understand.
All right, folks, welcome into the Orlando Soccer Show. As the South Park song French Canada brings us in, it's, I would say, not the best Canada, but it is a relevant song either way. My name's Austin David, Gavin Eubanks on the other line, and we'll be joined by a special guest later on in the show to talk some other stuff. But until then, Gavin, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. It's been a really nice day up here in Jacksonville. I went out to Five Guys earlier, and you know, like they give you a ton of fries already. The lady called my order, and I get up there, and she was like, oops, I accidentally put extra fries in your bag. So I was like, really? So on top of hella fries, I got hella fries. So that was a good part of my day.
I'm going to give you an early red card for saying hella fries.
trying to just speak to the younger demographics that listen to the show and, you know, try to open our audience a little bit.
No, not worth it.
That's what the executives are telling me to do, at least.
It's not worth insulting yourself.
Yeah, just fair
saying.
Enough.
Just saying. Anyways, that's my early red card. I'm not going to have another red card later. Just saying. Right, so let's talk Orlando City. The Lions officially signed center back Robin Jansen today, being Tuesday. The center back who has come up in the Swedish soccer divisions is a signing that I wouldn't say was expected per se, but it was definitely teased on in this show. If you remember a few weeks ago, we said there would be a signing. I couldn't reveal anything. Well, there's the guy. Certain signings like this, you can't really say much. Like I know a lot of different beat writers that they kind of pace themselves in terms of releasing information, because if they release it too early, it actually affects the transfer agreements. So like if the news breaks and then certain things happen where like talk comes like, oh wow, they're getting him so cheap, then sometimes teams will be like, oh wait, we're selling him too cheap. Well, let's hold on a second. Let's go back here and let's go back to the drawing room. Because if the contract isn't signed, pen to paper, and the physical isn't done, then sometimes teams can get cold feet when they hear the Twitterverse talking about how they got played or something. Orlando City have actually had that happen before. You know, a lot of things are played close to the vest now because of that. Do you remember who it was, Gavin?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on his name. It's that French dude, though.
Mm-hmm. Come on, you can do it.
Oh, God. You're putting the pressure on me early. I know he played for Bordeaux.
Bordeaux.
You're talking to the French guy here. Yeah, I don't remember his name. It's at the tip of my tongue, but I just can't get it off.
I'll give you a hint. It wasn't Lamine Sané. Or Aurelien Collin.
Well, I know who it is. I have the picture of the guy in my mind. I just can't remember his name.
It's Gregory Sertich. Sertich. So that's exactly what happened. He signed. The reports came out, and then the team was like, wait, we're getting a bad deal. Let's try and shop him somewhere else and get a bit more money. And then they did that, and then they didn't get any money.
Yeah. Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah, basically. Yes, I mean, Sertich is, where is he now? He's playing in Zurich.
Oh, nice.
He's playing for FC Zurich.
Oh, with Adrian Winter?
Yeah, who just tore his ACL. Rip.
Oh.
He's actually on loan from Marseille.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyways, back to Orlando City. They have signed Jansen, who has a very unique story. He was originally playing in a high division over in Sweden, and he did an interview with Jenny Chu over with Orlando City earlier today, and he basically said, like, I lost the passion, and I just needed to come home and kind of readjust myself. So he was actually working as a horseshoe cobbler maker, which is really interesting, because I really honestly had no idea that was still a thing. I thought it was just like one of those many jobs that has been streamlined for like factories. Technology has taken over that.
I mean, you would think there still seems like there's some kind of like craftsmanship in it as far as like
shaping it or something.
Yeah, what's the word? I keep thinking of welding, but that's not it. It's maybe it is. Blacksmithing.
Yeah, kinda. Blacksmithing. Okay. Anyways, he was playing for a team that actually has played in Orlando before. He began his career with BK Hacken. Do you remember that team name?
I do. I remember being at that friendly. It was a closed door. It was back in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, back in 2015 against... I remember there was one guy... Who was the guy that Orlando had for like a hot minute that played for BK Hacken at one point?
I don't remember.
Maybe I'm thinking of him wrong, but he was like a really tall... I think it was forward. They got him from the Columbus Crew on like trade deadline day. And everyone was like upset because that was like their one big signing for the trade deadline. And then he played like one game and then that was it.
It wasn't Adam Bedell, was it?
Yeah, Adam Bedell. That's the guy I'm thinking of. I don't think he played for BK Hacken, but for some reason he just kind of popped into my mind.
Yeah, no, he. I don't even know if he's still playing anymore.
Yeah, maybe he...
He played for HB Koga. Which is in a Danish football club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, back to BK Hacken. They did play Orlando City. It was 2-2, in fact. Martin Patterson and Seb Hines scored goals.
Yes. That was I remember it being a very nice day. And it was a okay game to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Were you at that game?
I was not.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't remember, like...
I couldn't make that game for something. I couldn't remember exactly why I couldn't make that one, but I just couldn't make that one.
Yeah.
Either way, BK Hacken. So, Janssen started his career with BK Hacken, never really got any appearances. He spent a bunch of... he spent a loan out at a club called FC Trollhättan. I just butchered that name. I don't care. Then he basically left BK Hacken at the end of the year. He spent he went back home, spent a few seasons with fifth tier clubs, and then went to the third tier. And that's when he was working his second job in the Horseshoe Factory. And he was kind of just chilling there for a bit. And then last year in 2018, he signed for AIK. They're just called AIK, basically. And he became... You know, they're better defensive player. And this was back when they were trying to fight for a championship and a playoff spot. And he ended up scoring the only goal in the final game of the season that got them the championship for the first time in 9 years. So he was basically like the hero of AIK and only playing 25 games. And, you know, Orlando City, he caught their eye and... things move fairly swiftly for the Swede, who has also started making some appearances for the Swedish national team. He was called up just this past December and first made his international debut back on January 8th against Finland. So he is definitely one of those players on the rise, even though he is 27 years old. You know, he's kind of hit his peak at a later point in his life, but he shows a lot of what Orlando City... want in a center back, a good leader, comes from a very humble background. And so this is one of those kind of players where you like the story, but also the mentality that he has. You know, he's going to fight for you because he doesn't have that background where he's like, oh yeah, I was the best player on this team, and then now I'm coming here. Kind of like what Nani is. You know, he was kind of spoiled when it comes to being the best player on any team. And now you've got a player in Janssen who's got to fight for his opportunity. And I think that's kind of a player you like to see who has the talent to back up that attitude.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like you said, you know, he's coming into a situation. He's not guaranteed any starting jobs. I think when you look at Orlando's back line so far, the group of Kamal Miller, Alex DeJean, and Shane O'Neill, they've played well. So, I mean, if you know, there's no clear... favorite, I guess you could say, to go to the bench immediately. because they're all playing. They've all done a good job. They're all building kind of that chemistry there. And, you know, that doesn't mean that that's going to stay the same three guys for the rest of the season. You know, it's, if they continue to play a three back system, eventually you're going to need that depth. You're going to need, guys are going to change in and out. You know, what's going to be interesting is it, you know, unless I'm wrong, it looks like he's played his whole career over there in Sweden. So this is kind of a very big step in his career, not just professionally, but personally. You know, you're going completely outside of your comfort zone. You're going to a new country on the other side of the globe that you probably don't know much about, if anything. So, you know, there's that, there's the adjustment of a new league, and you're coming to Orlando and you're learning all these new players and everything. And, you know, so that might take some time for him to adjust as well. And it's going to be something worth keeping an eye on. Even if he has the talent, it's, you know, at this point, it's kind of mentally getting yourself prepared now, because you're doing something completely new. So that's going to be interesting to watch with him as well.
Yeah, and I think they're not in any rush to get him on the field. They've still got other defensive players who have been playing now in the back line. They still have Lamine Sané, who's been injured, that they're kind of waiting on. Alex Dejean, Carlos Asquez, who's also been injured.
Right. They have plenty of depth there now as far as center back.
Yeah, and even in a pinch, you could get João Moutinho to play there too.
I mean, even when you think about it too, they've only let up three goals in two games, and two of those goals were kind of, I would say, just lap, you know, being caught flat-footed, ball watching. Obviously, the goal against Chicago, and then there was the second goal that New York scored in the first game with Kamal Miller kind of losing the beat on Alexander Ring. So, I mean, it's not like the defense is in shambles right now. It's certainly stronger than it was last year, I think you could argue. So, and, you know, this adds to, Luis Muzzi said, it adds to the competition of the squad right now, which ultimately is just going to make Orlando City better, regardless of whether or not he is immediately starting or not.
Right. And it may take some time for him to get his paperwork situated as well. So they'll be fine. I don't think there's any real rush to get him into the game and into the side. You know, get him acclimated, get him used to the weather, because the weather is definitely something you got to get used to, especially when summer is right around the corner, like literally around the corner, because there is no such thing as seasons in Florida. It's just hot.
Yeah. What is it, a couple more weeks until spring?
Officially? Yeah. And then it's in the 90s, and then summer it's in the hundreds, and it's just like the worst feeling.
I've sweat my ass off the last few days. It's just kind of pissing me off.
Yeah, basically. All right. Well, we talk about an international player. Let's talk about international call-ups. So Sebas Mendez is called up for Ecuador, which we'll talk a little bit later on when we talk about the U.S. men's national team playing Ecuador on March 21st in Orlando. But Will Johnson was kind of a surprise to be called up for Canada. Now, he hasn't been called up, I believe, since 2017. So this was very much a surprise for him to get called up for some of their crucial games coming up.
That's for sure. I think it kind of goes, I don't know, do they have a new coach from when he was last called up? Maybe he just wants to get a look at Will. Maybe he's really in their plans. I mean,
I don't know.
People continue to hate on Will Johnson, but I think he's been very good in the first two games. I think especially against Chicago, he was one of those guys we talked about on the postgame show. He was all over the place. He was doing his job so well as far as being able to press and put pressure on the attackers. And I haven't had a complaint about Will Johnson so far this year. So if it's, you know, a reward for two solid games with Orlando, then it's certainly worth it.
Yeah. Old wild man Will. You know, he's playing out there very wild, and that's in that kind of play style. And, you know, having a guy that's pressing like that, that's kind of what you want from him. And we talked about it at length last time, so no reason to go into it this time. And another kind of surprising call-up, Benji Michel called up for Haiti. However, according to Jordan Culver, he is set to deny the call-up and stay with Orlando City. Now, we can speculate about this all we want because, well, it's ripe for speculation, obviously. But it's interesting because you have a player like Benji who's getting an opportunity like that. He's not getting first team minutes right now, but he's staying with Orlando City instead. What do you make of that?
Like you said, we can speculate on why, if he wants to stay with the team, you know, you can't really hurt him for that. If he thinks he's got an opportunity to win minutes. You know, that's kind of like another thing because he hasn't made the bench so far. So it's not like he's pushing on the brink. It's not like Orlando's losing a lot of players for this international window that they're going to need him to step up anyway. I mean, I get, you know, we don't know all the reasons behind it. I think I would assume that he's, I mean, Haiti is his ties is, I don't know if he's holding out for another country. I honestly don't know that much about him personally. So, you know, it's an interesting decision if he doesn't want to do it.
Maybe I'll run over to training and just ask him about it.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's certainly worth a little discussion.
All right. Well, that's something I can get to next few days. Right. Last thing, this is per Jordan Culver as well. Mason Stadahar apparently going out on loan. I don't think this is really much of a surprise, but it's just the question is what team and what league? Because it could be USL Championship or USL League One.
I mean, if you could, the easy thing would be to send him to the US or the OCB, or you can send him out to, you know, a higher quality. It's interesting because like he hasn't played a professional minute like ever. So you're, you know, do you throw him in to the championship where the quality is going to be high right off the bat, or do you kind of ease him in with more players his age, his level with League One?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's good enough that he could play in championship. I don't know if that teams will take a risk on playing him, having not played any professional minutes yet. I could see him sticking with a League One team for a short-term loan, maybe just getting him some minutes and getting him, you know, some game time. But from what I've seen in training and just like short-sighted games and even just scrimmages, he looks fully capable. It's just a question of can Orlando City convince a USL championship team to take him on and say, yes, he is fully ready to be a starting goalkeeper when the need arrives.
Right. And that's the thing, too, is you got to find the right fit for him to where he's actually going to play, you know, whether it be maybe one of these newer USL teams that probably don't have an established goalkeeper yet, because you're obviously probably not going to send him, you know, to St. Louis to work with Pulis if, you know, he's probably already got a starter. You're not going to send him to Louisville. No. So you gotta find the right scenario.
I don't know. St. Louis could be a good fit for him.
I mean, like, I obviously don't know the situations. Obviously, I to be able to go to a club like St. Louis where there's, you know, good high competition in terms of USL, I think would be great. I just don't know the situation over there well enough to
In terms of goalkeepers, they have two on roster, two that are actually kind of familiar with Orlando-related, you know, players. Jake Fenlison, who was the OCB backup goalkeeper in 2016 and 17, and Thomas Gomez, who was the U23 goalkeeper back when Orlando City had a U23 team back in 16 as well. So those are the two keepers as of right now. I could see him going there and potentially getting some game time. You know, it's very possible. And again, with Pulis, who knows him fairly well, it's a good environment.
Yeah, for sure.
In the next few days, it'll be official. I just heard about this, so I'll probably start asking around and see where he's at. Right. So that's all the Orlando City news to begin the show. Let's talk about Montreal. The game coming up. Montreal Impact taking on Orlando City at Orlando City Stadium on Saturday, March 16th, game kicking off at 4 o'clock. As of right now, in terms of injuries, again, per Jordan Culver, because he's the only one that's out there all the time. I'll be out there tomorrow being Wednesday, but as of right now, Tesho Akindele is still nursing his lower body injury / hamstring / whatever. Not really any updates since, what was it, Saturday when we did the postgame show, where he would be reevaluated. As of right now, there's no update to that. He hasn't been out of training. Meanwhile, Lamine Sané has been nursing his calf injury. He's training out to the side. And again, you can read all about that in Jordan Culver's article on Pro Soccer USA. Now, that's the current injury updates for Orlando City. Meanwhile, Montreal, this is going to be their third straight game on the road, recently coming off a 2-1 loss at Houston. But they have looked decent. They have looked good. You obviously have a playmaker like Nacho Piatti that is going to be your point man. He's going to be the one you need to look out for if you're Orlando City. He is the creator. He is the one that scores goals, and he is your danger man up top. But Safir Tider, their midfielder, has been very dangerous in the early parts of their season so far. He scored 2 goals, and he's getting really high up into the attack. And he's another one of those guys I kind of want to point out and say, this is probably someone else you really want to mark, because he's looked very dangerous. He's getting into good opportunities, and he's finishing the opportunities he's given. Gavin, your thoughts on Montreal?
I think I back up a lot of what you said. You know, a lot of the focal point is going to be with those two guys right there. Tidier was, like you said, been very good. He scored against Houston. He scored and had an assist in the opener against out in San Jose. So, I mean, and he's doing this all on the road, you know, to start the season. So he's definitely a very dangerous player. I think if your Orlando center backs are going to have to keep a close eye on him, and not let him kind of control the space and get into pockets. And
yeah, and typically the last few games, Montreal has been playing a 4-3-3. You've got Maxi Urruti, who's just joined the team this year, Piatti on the left, and Okwonko? Yeah, that's a name. I'm just going to leave that. Just not going to try that again. But yeah, so Tider has been right behind Piatti in the 4-3-3. He kind of roams around. He'll move into the middle. You've got a stopper like Michael Azira, who's also in the midfield. He's been around USL and MLS for years. I remember him back with the Charleston Battery back in the day. Daniel Lovitz, who's just been called up for the national team. He's been playing left back. Bakary Sagna, who's playing right back. And then, what was it, Victor Cabrera and Diallo. They've been the two holding down the center back position. And then, of course, Evan Bush, still in goal. They've got a lot of potential talent up top with Urruti, Piatti, and Tider kind of on that left side.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Montreal altogether, I think, has a very talented team. A lot of people tend to write them off for various reasons. But like you said, they have the ability to score goals. They certainly have a lot of talented pieces defensively. They added some help this offseason. So it's going to be, you know, I don't expect this to be an easy game for Orlando by any means. It's certainly going to be a tough 90 minutes. They're going to have to really go out there and battle for a win if they want to get all 3 points finally. They do have the advantage of Montreal being their third consecutive game on the road to open the season. So you might have some tired legs. You know, they've been traveling. That they've went, let's see, all the way to San Jose, Houston, now to Orlando. Like, that's a lot of miles very far away from home. So it has not been easy for them to open up the campaign. And now you come down to Orlando after being in Houston. It's going to be a tough one. You know, Orlando's got their work cut out for them, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they still have a lot of other pieces, like, on the bench. Juka Raitala, who started on the bench last game, he could play in as a factor. Anthony Jackson-Hamel, who was a good rookie and has kind of fallen off the map a little bit, but he's shown glimpses, especially against Orlando. He's had some good games. And Mathieu Chaunier, who's another forward, he's definitely one to look out for as a super sub kind of player.
And it's kind of crazy, too, is Montreal is one of those teams that Orlando has rarely ever had success in against in MLS for some reason. Looking at the season series from last year, Orlando played them, looks like, back-to-back games in June last year. Mm-hmm. 3-0 loss and a 2-0 loss. So they were outscored 5-0 last year against Montreal. They does not look like they have beaten them until at least, I don't know, I just have the last 5 games here. They're winless in their last 5, and 4 of those games against Montreal were losses. So, you know, I could say that it's not going to be easy for Orlando, and it's certainly, just like for some reason when they play Chicago, it's just there's no guarantee to win there. It's certainly going to be a dogfight to get all 3 points.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I'm going to pull up the all-time results sheet and see just exactly where they are. Right, okay, here we go. So, Orlando City against the Montreal Impact are 3-5-2 in league play. They are 2-2-1 in Orlando, 1-3-1 in Montreal. They have scored 14 goals against Montreal. Meanwhile, Montreal has scored 18 goals against Orlando for a -4 goal differential.
So their last win against them was in 2016, May of 2016 at Camping World Stadium. So they're winless in five straight, four of those being losses.
Yes. So in 2015, they were one. Let's see. They drew, lost, and won. So they were 1-1-1. Then in 2016, like you mentioned, they won at home, won away 4-1. That was the big 4-1 win. And then lost 1-0 at home. And that was the Dominic Oduro goal that shouldn't have counted. 2017, a 3-3 draw at home and a 2-1 loss in Montreal. 2018, you had a 0-3 loss away, 0-2 loss at home, like you mentioned earlier. And now we head into 2019 with all to play for, basically.
Yeah. So a lot on the line early in the year.
Yeah. Should be a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last thing about this Montreal game, and then we'll move on into the Pride. What's the key for Orlando in this game? Right, they're going to be losing some players to international duty. They'll still be there at the game, according to Jordan Culver, so they won't lose them like for that game, but may kind of play into a little bit of James O'Connor's planning a little bit, maybe. What do you think Orlando does in terms of lineups if Tesho Akindele is unable to go? Does Dom Dwyer start? Does Chris Mueller start? Does Nani start again after his 80-something minute performance the other night? What do Orlando do?
I mean, it kind of seems like you would think Dom Dwyer gets the start. You know, he showed that he's got the legs under him to go 90 minutes, you know, at least 60 to 70 minutes going in. I think Nani and Dwyer start. I think the key for Orlando is if, you know, they're going to be playing this high press again. If they're playing a high press like they did against New York City, that means that they're going to have to keep an eye out on those guys up front that we mentioned for Montreal. They're going to have to make sure that they don't break loose and get by them and get Orlando City on the counter, because that's ultimately where Montreal's probably going to have the best chance to hurt Orlando.
I'd agree with that. And yeah. just the high pressing, you're at home. You got to take advantage of the mistakes that Montreal makes due to your press. I'd like to see, because they're at home, a little bit more intensity in terms of the press, just in the forward position, trying to force the ball out quickly from the goalkeeper's spot. Because usually if you have Dom Dwyer running full speed at the goalkeeper, they're not going to just try and play it out from the back. They're going to just boot it downfield. And that takes out a lot of possession from teams when goalkeepers are scared of making a mistake and they just boot it downfield. Heck, you saw Brian Rowe doing that a few times where the ball would come back to him. There would be pressing from the Chicago Fire, and he just booted either out downfield and turn the ball over, or it goes out of bounds. So you know it works. You just need to do it. You need to press higher. You need to force them into mistakes, and that's what will help win them games, especially when you are at home.
Yeah, and I think if I was to add one more thing, you know, I mentioned it last week, they need to have more possession with a purpose. If they're going to come out with 55, 60% of the possession, like we kind of expect this to go, there needs to be more on the attacking end in the final third. They were very aggressive, very patient, but there wasn't enough done with all of that. So they need to be able to create more chances, certainly. They have enough firepower up top if Nani and Dwyer are on the field. There should be far more balls going in towards that goal.
Yeah, and I think if Juan ends up starting, you know, he came in for a few minutes during that Chicago game. He is such a game changer in terms of his speed that defenses will have to keep an eye on him more, just in terms of getting forward. And if he's able to get forward with balls over top, that allows space to be opened up for Dwyer and Nani up top as well, and it opens up a little bit more of the offense. Speed changes games. And Juan can do so. The only question I have is about his defensive ability, but I think, again, speed can make up for that a little bit.
Yeah, it certainly helps recover.
Yeah, I mean, just look at Mohamed El-Menir last year.
Right, yeah, he had those couple of good moments early on that made people like him, and then, you know, the rest of the season happened.
And they were right after glaring errors by him.
Exactly. I mean, I don't...
Just goes to show you.
I don't think Juan's been tested much defensively, but, you know, it's still early, but like you said,
he's only played one preseason game plus that game in Chicago where he was only on for a few minutes.
He played against New York as well.
That, nope. Not in the first game of the season.
He started.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, he let, all right, I'm thinking of the first New York game.
Yeah, the preseason right. game. That was the only game he played.
That's right.
Come on, Gavin.
I was thinking that was the game he got hurt in. I don't know. I've got
that was the New York game is the one he got hurt in, but the first New York game, yeah. not the second one.
The preseason New York game. Yeah.
There you go. Anyways, let's move on to the Orlando Pride. So the Pride have media day this week. It's coming on Thursday. We'll be able to talk to Mark Skinner and Eric Ustruck, and then we'll have some individual interviews with some of the Pride players, including Ashlyn Harris, Alex Morgan, Chiyu Bogagu. I think Kristen Edmonds, Alana Kennedy. Yeah, it should be good.
See what Austin does with that, subscribe to our YouTube page, The Orlando Soccer Show, because we will have plenty of content on there.
Yeah. Oh, and Marta will be there as well.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'll just kind of give the hint here. We're going to try and play a game called This or That, where we're going to give everybody two choices, and they will have to pick one of them, such as... is a hot dog a sandwich? Yes or no? That's not going to be a question because I've literally asked all of these players that question already. And,
so 2016 of that question anyway.
Yeah. Moe's or Chipotle? You know, McDonald's or Burger King? I don't know. I'll start thinking of some stuff and we'll figure it out. But Moe's or Chipotle is definitely going to be a question that will be asked because that is a debate that needs to be answered.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So let's go ahead and move on to the last kind of portion of our show and talk about the U.S. men's national team. But before we actually get into the U.S. men's national team, we figured we'd bring someone on who hasn't been on since June or July for when we did our big World Cup show. Kyle Foley is back for the first time in over 6 months. Hi, Kyle.
What's up, guys? This would have been a great opportunity for me to pretend there were more technical difficulties so that I could not join you. But yeah, it's good to be back. It's been a while.
It's literally every time you try and join us. Like, oh, sorry, this came up. This came up. And yeah, so we finally wrangled you down.
Yes, you caught me on like a somewhat not busy week. Next week, I should actually be able to be on for the entire episode. I'm saying that now, which means I will not be here for any of it. But at least now there is recorded evidence that I'm telling you I will be available.
Yeah, so now we can just pull it up.
At some point, we're going to have like a crew of mercenaries get you, ambush you, throw you into the back of a van, and just hold you in a recording facility until the show is done so that you cannot leave. Technical difficulties cannot hamper you.
I mean, I could literally just show up to his house and be like, hey, we're recording now.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, we'll figure something out.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk U.S. men's national team. So the next game is obviously in Orlando on March 21st against Ecuador. Well, let's talk about that one first before we go into the one in Chile, because the Orlando one's more important because we are the Orlando Soccer Show. And there's actually a few players that will be Orlando related that will be playing on that field, which is kind of cool. So starting with Ecuador, because there's actually a player on Ecuador that is now playing for Orlando City. Sebas Mendez has been called up. He will hopefully be starting in that game. He's been playing really well for Orlando City so far throughout this season. And really exciting to see him, you know, for one of his first call-ups since joining Orlando City to be playing in Orlando City.
Is it really bad for me to say that I hope he doesn't play?
What, so he doesn't get injured or something?
Yes, because that anybody who is ever really heard me talk about Orlando City, I'm very, very critical, and everything that can go wrong will go wrong because that's just been the story for the last couple years. And so it's one of those things where that's exactly what would happen is he would play and like 2 minutes in tears an ACL.
See, now you don't have to say that.
You're just jinxing it. You gotta knock on wood, man.
Oh, don't worry, I am. But here's the thing, because I tweeted about how we were going to clearly lose to New York City. We managed to come back and draw 2-2. I posted, I believe, on Facebook about how there was no way we were going to give up a lead to Chicago when they went down a man and we gave up the lead. So I feel like I am...
Everything you say is complete opposite of is what will happen.
I'm basically the anti-Brad.
Fair. Yeah.
Well, that's fair, bro. Fair enough.
Right. So Sebas Mendez, he goes by Sebastian or Jegson. So in the press release of him being called up, they called him Jegson Mendez. The team calls him Sebas Mendez. And then officially on the roster, he's Sebastian Mendez. So, you know, that's fun, right? Trying to figure out what he actually is. I don't know if you remember this, but a few years ago when OCB was announced and they were signing some of the Montverde kids, there were some questions about what their names were, because on their passport it said one, and then on the actual roster sheet it said another. So it went like 2 weeks with them trying to figure out what their name was. So it was Albert Dequa, but they were calling him Dequa Albert in the very beginning. And then now it's actually Albert Dequa on every roster. But it was just kind of funny how they were trying to figure all that out.
So Sebastian has like the added benefit of kind of like multiple personalities in some way.
Well,
you had a really bad game the other day and be like, no, that wasn't me. That was Yegson. I'm Sebas today. Don't blame me.
Is this like Split, but the soccer version?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he does have four names, technically. Yegson, Sebastian, Mendez, Carabali. Anyways, he's made 5 appearances for Ecuador to this point. He debuted for them last year, officially. He's only 21 years old, so plenty of time for them in the national team circuit, as long as he continues playing well. So it'll be fun to see him playing at Orlando City Stadium. There's also, on the other side of things, a potential for someone with Orlando ties to make an appearance in Orlando. Do you guys have any idea who on the U.S. men's national team has Orlando ties that has been called up?
On the national team?
Uh-huh.
Has Orlando ties. Like Orlando, not Orlando City, right?
Correct.
Oh.
Not from Orlando, but has Orlando ties.
That's
Isn't it like
so
Sean Johnson?
It is Sean Johnson. Went to UCF.
Yeah.
There you go. Come on, Kyle. Yeah. UCF.
I would have never. I'm sorry. I didn't watch UCF soccer
back in 2007.
UCF guy.
Decade ago.
Yeah, it was back in 2007. That was over a decade ago.
Yeah, I'm sorry that 11-year-old me was not a hardcore UCF men's soccer fan.
Yeah, how dare you?
Did UCF even have an athletics program 10 years ago?
Yes, they did. They were known as the Golden Knights.
Oh.
Yes. Which is why when Vegas called themselves the Golden Knights, everyone was kind of like, well, that was UCF at one point. And
yeah, but that was back in the day when George O'Leary coached every sport. So things have changed.
That would have been fun if he had coached every team.
That would be incredible. Honestly, I feel like at this point, and this is really inside baseball, but with all the stuff that's going on with the UCF administration and mishandling of funds and all that stuff, like I feel like George O'Leary should be brought back as the school president.
Just because?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, yeah, why not just continuously screw things up? Anyway, I mean, they already have a statue outside of the stadium of him and only him, and so that's already kind of cool. Next should be Blake Bortles, totally.
Okay, but Blake Bortles is actually good.
So. Just released from the Jags.
Yeah, well.
Not officially. Give it another 12 hours.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. By the time this goes up, it'll probably be official.
Well, okay, but I'm not sure that Jaguars are really an example of a shining franchise.
Yeah,
so
beacon of hope for Florida football. Anyways, back to soccer. That's going on as well. So the game, March 21st, in Orlando, at Orlando City Stadium, their first game back in Orlando since the World Cup qualifying game against Panama, where the hope was high for them making the World Cup, and then all of a sudden it just kind of died off. Well, it was 2 years ago, actually, 2017. And so this is another chance for Orlando, you know, supporters, soccer supporters, to kind of show up, and make Orlando City Stadium a fortress for the national team. I think 2 years ago they were saying they wanted it to be the next Columbus or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that would have been really cool. I think I wrote an article for Orlando City when I was still working for them, because that game was happening at the time. And I said it was something about, you know, how players said they wanted it to be a fortress for Columbus, like Columbus was for them.
Yeah, I believe that was Dax McCarty was talking about it being something like that.
Yeah, Orlando native Dax McCarty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we've talked about this on the show before, and maybe we just talked about it off air, but it's harder for Orlando to be more of a U.S. Men's national team fortress, because Orlando is, compared to Columbus, significantly different demographically. It's a lot closer to South America and Central America. So for supporters from those countries, either here, it's easier to visit here, or I should say it's more preferable to come visit here. So if you have the option between I can go to a game, if you're an Ecuador fan, if you're from Ecuador, if you live in Ecuador and you want to come see Ecuador play and you are deciding between Orlando or going to Columbus, that's a no-brainer. You're going to want to come to Orlando. So I think it's harder because it's a lot easier and it's a lot it's a lot more desirable of a location for away fans from any country to come to Orlando. It's kind of similar to how LA is not typically a home game for the United States because it's easier and it's a better location for fans from other countries to get to. Whereas a place like Columbus, or if you go to, say, they played a game in New England or whatever, you're more inclined to not have people coming from other countries because it's hard enough to get people from this country to go to a place like Columbus. Why would anybody else want to come and go to a place like Columbus? Because there's nothing to do there.
Right. I mean, it's also kind of like the demographics of countries. Like you mentioned New England, for example, like there's a huge like Portuguese population out there. Same way where it's like a bunch of Brazilians here. So I mean, like it's all, especially that game that was before the one in Orlando when like Costa Rican fans took over Red Bull Arena and everyone's complaining about that. I mean, you know, because there's such a big Hispanic population in New York City as well. So it's like, it's everywhere you go, you know, you're likely to run into those issues.
Yeah. And I think, not getting into politics or anything like that, but I think that's a cool thing for America, that it's hard for the US to have true home games here because there are so many people from so many different backgrounds, so many different countries. Like that's a really neat thing. However, just purely on the pitch, it's a disadvantage because it doesn't matter where the national team is playing. It's really hard to feel at home. And that can weigh against a team. That can be harder on a team. I mean, home field advantage is real. If the crowd is in your favor and supporting you, you are typically going to play better, especially in a sport like soccer where you really feed off that energy. So I think it's, while on the one hand, it is something that is really neat, and I actually enjoy seeing that. Like, it's fun when you see a game, like you said, in New York, where it's primarily Costa Rican fans, or a game in LA where it's primarily fans from Mexico, and you get those things, and those are neat to see. It is a disadvantage to the United States, and it's why, like, again, I think it's going to be hard for, as passionate as Orlando City fans are and as soccer fans in the city of Orlando are, I think it's going to be hard for the national team, the U.S. national team, to feel like it is a true home game playing in a place like this.
I mean, we'll have to see how it ends up with just the fans in terms of who comes and who outnumbers who. Because the last time the Panama fans took up an entire section behind the goal on the south end, I think, the complete opposite side of the wall. And I remember when Jozy Altidore scored his goal, a number of cups like rained down from that side of the field. And, you know, he was basically like goading them on, but still. It did. You could definitely, like, from where I was sitting in the stands, you could definitely kind of tell that, like, they had a good number of people there.
Well, and I'm gonna be honest, from a national team fan perspective, I kind of like that because I like the fact that it's harder for the, like, that we don't get comfortable games. We don't get a game where you feel like this crowd is, you know, 95% behind you. Everything is going your way. Like, you don't get that opportunity to feel comfortable. You feel like there's a little bit of an extra edge to your game. You have to prove something. And I think that eventually that should lead to better performances. And I think for the development of a lot of these players, especially the young guys, I think that's beneficial. I think if you play all your friendlies in a comfortable environment against comfortable opponents, you're not going to improve. So I do think that that's one of those things that while it is a little bit of a disadvantage, I think at the end of the day, that benefits the team.
Fair enough. Well, we'll have to see on March 21st how it all turns out. There is another game during this window. They'll be playing Chile on March 26th in Houston in the Dynamo Stadium, which is, I have a feeling, going to be a lot of Chilean fans in that attendance, more so than probably the U.S., but Chile has not announced their roster as of this moment that we are recording. So I don't know who's going to be called up. I know Alexis Sanchez is not going to be there because he's injured and out at least 6 to 8 weeks, I think. Kyle, right? Yes?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Manchester United fan Kyle Foley with the expert opinion.
I mean, it's probably really distasteful for me to say he's been out for the last like year and a half, but he kind of has been. So hope he gets better. I think any injury is unfortunate. And so I do hope he heals up properly and can get back to playing and all of that jazz. I just don't think he's been super great for Manchester United.
That's fair. I would say that's fairly fair. Let's kind of break down the roster for the U.S. really quickly. I want to talk about how, you know, the call-ups kind of shape up. So you have your first choice goalkeeper in Zach Steffen being called up. You have John Brooks from Wolfsburg, who's been called up. Omar Gonzalez, Aaron Long, Matt Miazga, even DeAndre Yedlin and Tim Ream. A few younger guys like Nick Lima, Daniel Lovitz. In the midfield, you've got Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, Christian Pulisic, Will Trapp. And then you've got other guys like Michael Bradley, Sebastian Legette, make up a good healthy number of veterans plus the rising stars in the midfield. And then in the forwards, you've got a lot of youth and a few kind of veteran presences. Diasi Zardes, who always seems to be there, regardless of how good or bad he's playing. Christian Ramirez getting another call-up. Probably deservedly so. I think he's just kind of that poacher goal guy that you want in a roster. Jordan Morris, Jonathan Lewis, Corey Baird, and Paul Areola. So it's just a good mixture of players for Greg Berhalter. A lot of veterans, but a lot of youth as well.
I think for me the most shocking thing is that 15 of the players are playing currently in MLS. And I guess sort of I know he's not playing in MLS, but Omar Gonzalez playing in Mexico, playing over here in North America. I was expecting a few more European players. I know obviously the biggest omissions everyone's talking about are Josh Sargent and Timothy Weah, and everyone's, you know, and people are correct in commenting on those because I think those are glaring omissions. But I find it interesting that this is a very mixed, like I was expecting to see some more players from Europe given a chance to come in since they weren't here in the January window. And we're not seeing that, which I find, I don't know. I don't know if it's good or bad yet. I just find it interesting right now.
Yeah. I think for Sargent and for Weah, I mean, the reasoning that I can think of is that they're trying to battle for first team minutes and you want them to get first team minutes with their teams rather than get a national team call-up for two games that are pointless. Because if you're with the national team, you're with the camp, you're missing out on 2 weeks of training with your team when you could be earning a first team minutes rather than just basically meaningless friendlies.
I sort of see where you're coming from on that. I think that the biggest reason that they're not being included in the senior team is because there's a hope that they'll play for the U23s and qualify for the Olympics for the first time in, it's been like what, 10, 12 years, something like that. I forget exactly, but so I think the plan is to use those younger European guys for stuff like that while they're still 17, 18, 19 years old, whatever. And obviously more than just them, but there's other guys like that. But I don't know, for those guys, there's plenty that are playing over in Europe that are young, that are fighting for spots that I don't think have earned call-ups. I think from the way that Sargent and Weah have performed both with the clubs they're with and for the national team, that you can't, I mean, are you telling me that Jonathan Lewis deserves a call up more than one of the two of them? Like, I don't think anybody can honestly say that.
Yeah. I mean, Jonathan Lewis really hasn't been all that impressive lately.
Right. Or ever. He hasn't really been impressive ever. And not that he's bad. I think he's got a lot of potential and he has a future, but so he's on the team and he has definitively earned a spot. I mean, and even just looking at the other forwards, so the only one of the six called up that I would definitively take over Weah or Sargent is Jordan Morris.
Yeah, and Morris is also coming off a pretty severe injury.
Right, and so Paul Areola is not bad, but we know what we get from him. Giassi Zardes is, I think he is given more hate than he deserves. I think he is better than his reputation, especially under Berhalter. But I think, again, with him, we kind of know what we're getting. Mm-hmm. Chris, kind of a similar thing with Christian Ramirez. Then you have Corey Baird and Jonathan Lewis. And again, none of them stick out to me as they are definitively better than Sargent or Weah. and or and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, but the guy who's playing over in the Dutch league, and I can't even think of his name off the top of my head.
Dutch league,
right? I'm pretty sure he's playing over in the Netherlands. I have to look this up now while I sound like an idiot. Yeah, here we go. He is playing for Fortuna Sittard, and I'm sure I totally botched that.
What's his name?
Oh my god, I should not attempt to pronounce this.
Give it a try.
It is Novakovic is his last name. I can get that. I can't get his first name.
The guy who used to play for Reading.
Well, he still. I mean, he's on loan.
He's on loan, but yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Novakovic. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know why his last name was so hard to pronounce. It was his first name I couldn't pronounce, but whatever. But Novakovic is, again, so you get him, Sergeant Weah, three guys playing over in Europe who I feel like have shown that they are capable. And while they aren't, I think it's the flip side of your argument, where your argument is they're fighting for club minutes. I think part of the way for them to earn club minutes is to perform at the international level, because I think that's the biggest reason they were able to get attention in the first place or get more opportunities. Like, I don't know if Weah would have gone on loan to a club like Celtic if he hadn't performed well for the national team, or started to, even though he didn't have many opportunities, he kind of started to make a name in the press, and I think that helped him. Whereas otherwise, I think he would have gone on loan to like a tier two French club, or over to the Netherlands, or to the Championship in England. Like Celtic are a big club, even though they're not as big as they used to be. That's still, like, to go to Celtic and to play for them is a big deal.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's one of those things where to perform well at the international level when you're not getting as many opportunities to start is going to give a manager a reason to want to start you at the club level, where it goes, well, we've seen what he can do in training. We've seen what he can do against some tough countries. I mean, Ecuador and Chile are both better than Ecuador, but they're both good national teams. And so to perform well against either one of those would be impressive, and be more impressive than, you know, a week of training sessions against reserves from your current team. So I mean, like I said from the start, I think this is an interesting roster. I don't know if I disagree with it or dislike it. I just think it's interesting.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, and just to clarify the pronunciation,
Andrea Novakovic.
There you go, Andrea Novakovic, according to Google Translate.
There's a J in there, and that confuses me.
Yeah, it's a Croatian name. Anyways, let's move on with the rest of the show. Quick note, U.S. men's national team related. Jermaine Jones is in the MASL, you know. He just signed for the Ontario Fury for the remainder of the season, which is basically another month. So he joins Landon Donovan as former U.S. men's national team players. Then you've got a Canadian national team player in Dwayne De Rosario, who's playing out in Mississauga. So everybody joining the MASL now. Quick Seawolves news while we're on MASL. They're playing this weekend at home, both games Friday and Saturday. Friday's game against the Florida Tropics at 7:30. Saturday's game against the Kansas City Comets. That's at 7 o'clock. So, unfortunately, I won't be at the Orlando City game this weekend because of that. Sad times. But there's only five more home games left. These are two of the five, so that means there's only three more home games for the Orlando Seawolves left in the season. It's gone by quick. All right, so now we're getting towards the end of the show, which means it's our weird news, red cards, and predictions time. So who has some good weird news today?
Oh, I have some soccer-related weird news.
Oh.
Although I don't know how. It's not extremely weird, but I feel like this is a good one. Declan Rice wins Irish Young Player of the Year award despite the fact that he plays for England.
Huh.
he had originally played for Ireland. I believe he played in like three friendlies, I want to say. Don't quote me on that. But he received whatever permission from FIFA to switch his allegiance over to England, and it has been confirmed as of last week that he is now free to start playing for England. But Ireland named him their Young Player of the Year, which I find fantastic.
Maybe they're trying to get him to come back?
I feel like that's not going to happen.
Nope.
But...
All right. Gavin, do you have one?
Yeah, I got this Nebraskan family. They built a car. They built a lifelike Ford Mustang out of snow, and then a state trooper gave it a ticket.
That's sad.
Yeah. So they built a.
It's a snowman, but it's a Ford Mustang snowman, and then the cop gave it a ticket, thinking that it was an actual car.
I'm trying to figure that part out because it doesn't.
Maybe he was just playing along. Also, if they make them pay that ticket, that would be incredible.
Yeah, right? It doesn't say how much the ticket was for either.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Can I amend my weird news? Because I found what might be the weirdest of all weird news.
No. Let me say mine, and then it might be yours. All right, you ready? Charlotte office worker charged after he bought donuts glazed with his own semen to his boss's farewell party.
You know, I was going to use that one too, but I already did the man milk one last week. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can't stick around with the same theme. That is absolutely disgusting. He faces charges of food tampering. Let's see. Adam Richardson, 37 years old, has worked at the accounting firm for over 12 years. And his boss, Jonathan Keane, recently announced his retirement, and the department organized a farewell party. All employees at the farewell party ate the donuts, reported something unusual about the flavor, noting that there was a very salty aftertaste. And after seeing Keane eat a donut and then complimenting him on the taste, employees said Richardson burst into uncontrolled laughter. we figured that he had spiked the donuts with something because there's a bit of bad blood in the past between the pair, but we had no idea that it was his own semen. Then all the employees were sent to the doctors for STD checks.
That is incredible. Awful thing to do.
Yes.
But man, does that make for some great content.
All right. Any red cards this week for you guys? Anything you're pissed off about?
I don't think I have something right now. I didn't really think about it. Which means I probably don't have one.
Kyle, do you have something that you're pissed off about?
Yes. Oh, good. Yes. I am. Well, I mean, I'm not really that pissed, but I am not happy with Manchester United, with Ed Woodward, for still not giving a lifetime contract to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who has earned it, more than earned it, purely off of the PSG win. The result at Arsenal does not matter because nobody expected that game to. Nobody cares about that. It's unimportant. We're winning Champions League because of the statistically impossible comeback that was made, and the fact that he has not been given the full-time job for the rest of his life infuriates me. That's it. That's all I've got. Those are the only words I have. I'm just mad.
Okay. I guess that's fair. I mean, you do realize that Chelsea won with Roberto Di Matteo back in, what was it, 2012? And even though they won Champions League, he did not become full-time coach?
Yeah, that's okay. I don't really care about Chelsea.
I know, I'm just giving
it really a... They're not really a shining example of how to run a club properly.
It's probably true. Anyways.
It's almost kind of like ludicrous to think he wouldn't get the job at this point, especially that it was his first loss in the league since taking over. I mean, he's done a fantastic job. If it's not broke, you know, don't fix it.
Right.
Oh, buddy, you have not been paying attention for the last 6 years then, because they are absolutely, I still think there's only a 50-50 shot he gets the job, even though any other club in the world would have hired him by now.
Believe me, I'm very skeptical too. So, I mean, a little bit less now that Zinedine's back off the market. But, you know, we'll see.
All right. So let's finish out this show. Prediction. The only prediction we'll make today. Orlando City against the Montreal Impact in Orlando.
I'm going to go with a win. I think the team, like, I know you guys are going to say something that's going to make me seem like this isn't important, but the team's been playing well. They played really well against Chicago despite giving up that late goal. And I think they're going to play even better at home against a Montreal team that has now been on the road for 3 straight weeks. So I think they win it.
Okay. Kyle?
I'm going to go Montreal Impact 1, Orlando City 2.
Hmm. Nope. I was waiting for the hot take there.
Yeah. I mean, me predicting an Orlando City win is about as close as to a hot take as it gets.
Yeah, that's true. And we did say before the show that everything you say, the opposite happens. So I think you just jinxed Orlando City.
Yeah, he totally did. That's why I'm going to go Orlando City 1 and Montreal Impact 1. I think they get their third straight draw.
God, that would be such... That would leave such a bland taste in my mouth if they drew again. And
hey, listen. That's 3 points.
Yeah, but that's 3 points out of 9. Like, that's a 30%, 33%. That's not nothing to be proud of. I mean, it's nothing to be, like, ashamed of, but it's like...
Listen, would you rather start off hot and end slow, or start slow and hot?
I mean, Orlando's never had either, so...
They have had a hot end to the season, thank you very much. Inaugural season, they almost made the playoffs with that run at the end of the season they had.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Come on now. And if we're looking at 2016, when they fired Adrian Heath, they were still in contention for the playoffs. Just to note that. And they drew their first few games.
Famously undefeated in 5 games before losing to Dallas and firing Adrian Heath. So,
see? You know, as long as they have a different mentality as they did in 2016, where they don't fire James O'Connor, they'll be fine.
Yeah. Is there ever going to be, like, I'm just waiting for the year when a coach is not on the hot seat coming in.
Basically, as soon as you take the job, you're on the hot seat. Until they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's a part of the job.
Yeah.
All right. That's the end of the show. Thanks to Kyle for actually coming on and showing up for once. Kyle?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I was about to say, is he gone already? and thanks to Gavin for doing his usual thing. You can read all the stuff that he's written in the last few days over at the Orlando Soccer Journal, orlsoccerjournal.com. I don't know, follow Kyle on Twitter.
I wouldn't recommend following me. Everything is trash. My tweets are garbage. It's okay.
Okay. You got enough followers, I guess. All right, well, follow Gavin Eubank at Gavin Eubank. Follow me at AustinDavid22. And follow the Orlando Soccer Show at ORL Soccer Show. We mentioned at the beginning of the show, but be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, and the YouTube channel, because we'll have some stuff coming up in a few days. So thanks for listening, and goodbye.